This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got an absolutely amazing hour coming up for you as we do have to take a look at NBA Finals game number six, mainly because this might be the last basketball game that we see that isn't Summer League or the WNBA for several months. So we do need to be diving in on that front. We'll say WNBA product much better now than it was even just a few short years ago. So that'll be able to help us hold in there during the summertime. But we're going to be a long time without the NBA and college basketball. So we are hoping that we get ourselves a great game here on Thursday. We'll certainly be talking about that in a few minutes with Wes Reynolds. He does an absolutely tremendous job here at the network, and we do have to address what we're going to be getting on the golf front with him as well, as Wes has been just a maestro with regards to his futures and everything that he's doing in the derivative market there. We're going to be chatting it up, taking a look at some golf, taking a look at some NBA, and I've got some thoughts as of what we're going to be getting in the prop market here in game number six between the Thunder and the Pacers. Additionally, man, locked and loaded slate with regards to baseball, 16 games in total going to be coming up on this Thursday, so have to break down as many of those as possible, get you guys some picks, get you guys some winners. And if you take a look at what we've all got on the baseball front, it's not just the pros, but also the College World Series is now set. Now, this is going to be starting up on Thursday, so hard to have too much on the, or it's going to be starting up on Saturday, I should say. Hard to have too much in terms of what you're going to be able to get in terms of game number one between Coastal Carolina and LSU. Fortunately, our guy Johnny Venezia, who does an amazing job over at RotoWire breaking down college baseball, he was able to give us as much of a preview as you can get with it. But the way that you got to Coastal Carolina versus LSU was with LSU being down 5-3 in the ninth inning in the deciding game to decide who's going to go to the College World Series against Arkansas. Bad error by Arkansas that would have been a tailor-made double play ball to be able to end the game. LSU, they make the comeback. They win by a count of 6-5. If you had a 10.5 under in this game, by the way, man, do I feel for you. Personally, I'm not as much of a college baseball guy myself. I very much am dialed in with regards to the MLB slate, but man, if you had that under 10.5, the game was 1-1 going into the sixth inning, and you had a lot of overwhelmingness when it comes to the back half of that game. So that was very interesting. But now you've got LSU going against a Coastal Carolina team that just has been running roughshod here in Omaha. That is going to be incredible. And LSU opening up minus 175 in terms of game number one on the money line. I'd say probably want to be waiting until you get confirmed pitchers, things of that nature. And currently, totals off the board, run lines off the board, just because teams are going to be getting everything sorted out on that front. And then we've got things sorted out with regards to what we're going to be getting in game number six. Well, we've got most of it. We do have ourselves the spread. We've got ourselves the total and everything like that. What we're going to be getting out of Tyrese Haliburton, that's a little bit TBD. But we do know right now, totals hovering in that neighborhood of 222. The OKC Thunder, they're 6.5-point road favorites, looking to be able to get their first championship since the franchise was in Seattle. And that was a very, very long time ago. But with the Indiana Pacers, just such an intriguing, shall we say, outlook for the team, because you have to think that Tyrese Haliburton plays in this game. Like, there is, in my opinion, no way that you could be a star player of a team in a final. I don't care what sport it is, unless if you are just truly, truly banged up. Like, I mean, if you fell off the roller coaster and broke every bone in your body, to utilize the dodgeball term, you're still probably trying to go out there and trying to play in this game. So I think that Tyrese Haliburton is going to be able to give it a go. Here's the question, though. Are you going to be able to get Tyrese Haliburton at 80%? Is he going to be 70%? Is he going to be 60%? Is it going to be something else? That's what we don't know with Tyrese Haliburton. And the Pacers, I anticipate that they're going to be playing this close to the best. They are saying that he's most likely going to play in this game, but they're not going to give you just where he's at with regards to his just overall, shall we say, percentage of health. And I'm having to think that probably going to be 70% or less, just if I were to guess. Now, modern medicine, it can help you just be able to go out there, perform for one or two nights before the pain does come back. But Yeah, I do think that for the Indiana Pacers, it's going to be a very interesting outlook for them. And that's why, because I've been doing this all throughout the postseason, you probably do want to be looking at betting this a little bit more live, because you don't know what you're going to get out of Tyrese Haliburton. We can make all the best guesses in the world. We could all play armchair doctor, but I can tell you right now, I don't know if you went to school for medicine or went to school to be a doctor. I went to school to talk into a microphone over at UW Oshkosh D3 University for radio, TV, film. I intentionally avoided math and science classes. I have no idea whatsoever what to expect out of Tyrese Haliburton in terms of how fully, shall we say, mobile and how fully just into it he's going to be with regards to this game. I would just bank on a little bit more of an under rather than anything else. Just because when you get into these sort of situations, for me, it's just sort of a little bit more of a deficit of the doubt. You always hear about the benefit of the doubt. I'm giving the deficit of the doubt right now just because it's unknown. Like, he might go out there for 5 minutes as a little bit of a decoy, and that might be all that he gets. Now, he could go out there, he could give you 40 minutes, and he could put on a magnificent performance that we're going to be looking at in the same esteem as a Michael Jordan flu game. More often than not, that is not the case. Like, I still go back to the 2018 NCAA tournament. You all remember Dean Wade when he was playing over at Kansas State, gets banged up before that Sweet 16 game that they play against Kentucky and eventually the Elite Eight game that they play against Loyola Chicago. He played like 3 minutes in those games. He gave you nothing, but he played. So, like, you just don't have any idea. Like, even go back to last year's postseason when OG Anunoby got banged up for the New York Knicks. He tried to go out there with, like, a very tough hamstring injury, something like that, and he just was unable to give them anything whatsoever. So you just don't know if Tyrese Haliburton is even able to finish this game. So you're taking a look at that point prop of a 14.5. Yeah, you have to lay a little bit of juice on the or 13.5, I should say. Yeah, you have to lay a little bit of juice to go under 13.5 in a lot of books. I'd be willing to lay it. Again, that's the deficit of the doubt, and that means that someone for the Indiana Pacers has the benefit, or you just get a really low scoring game in general, which I'm not going to dispense that. I don't really have any sort of a feel in terms of this total. I'm going to be waiting for that to reveal itself in-game, because with the Indiana Pacers, the health of Tyrese Haliburton certainly does have a little bit of a factor with this, but the one guy that I think is going to be able to give you a good performance in this game is a man that has the ball in his hands quite a bit. That'd be Andrew Nembhard. Throughout the season, he's been able to give you 5 assists per contest for this Indiana Pacers team. I think that he is going to be one of the guys that needs to step up, needs to be able to just take on a little bit more of the role that Tyrese Haliburton typically does, and I think that he's going to need to be a little bit more of an assertive scorer, and I do think that he's going to be able to do so. So that's the one guy that I think is going to be able to get the, shall we say, residual effects of this Tyrese Haliburton injury. I've been also playing the yo-yo effect of Ben Mathurin when he goes under with regards to his player prop in one game. Typically, he can go over in the next, but typically these player props have been more around like 8.5, 9.5. Now you have to go over 11.5 points. A little bit too rich for my blood. I don't want to be going under with him, but I really don't want an over either. So we've got a lot of intrigue on the Pacers side of things, but we do have to take a look at the OKC side of things, because there's one guy that I think is going to be able to grab a whole bunch of boards, and something else that you want to grab is a VSiN Pro subscription. You're able to get in on our early bird special, because the NFL season, it is a-coming, and trust me, it is going to be here, and it is going to be oh-so-glorious, and you want to be able to get the full breakdown on everything, and we've got you covered all the way through the Super Bowl for as low as $175 when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe, and that'll land you a daily best bet email with all of our VSiN shows and guest picks for the day, exclusive betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa, full access to VSiN watch app, all the replays, and deep analytics and betting tools. We've also got our NFL betting guide coming out on July 1st, so you want to dive in on that as well. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. That gets you everything that we do through the do at the network all the way through the Super Bowl, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And while there's so much intrigue with the Indiana Pacers, what are you going to be able to get out of Tyrese Haliburton? Who might need to step up for them in game number 6? How about the fact that the OKC Thunder went back to happy in game number 5? I felt like after that game number 1 loss, they overcorrected just a little bit too much, and they got back to having Isaiah Hartenstein in the starting lineup. Now, he only played 21 minutes in game number 5, but I think that they might emphasize him a little bit more in this game. You have to think that with the Tyrese Haliburton injury, they have to, shall we say, stick fewer resources into containing him. Now, could we be wrong, and could Tyrese Haliburton be just fully at 100%? Sure, it could be, but I mean, there's also the possibility of what I laid out just a few minutes ago. Maybe he's a decoy, maybe he only gives you a few minutes, maybe he gives it a go and he can't finish the game. So I do think that this could be a big game for Isaiah Hartenstein to go over 6.5 rebounds. You're able to get that at minus 120. I would certainly be looking there. And I do think that for the Indiana Pacers, they're probably going to need to look to their big men a little bit more. I just don't know if this is going to be a big Miles Turner game. He has been so inconsistent throughout the postseason. That's a guy that I just don't want any part of whatsoever. So that's a guy that I'm just going to be laying off, and I'm just not going to be even trying to mess with that. But also, I do think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I still remember, he fell one rebound short of his player prop a few days ago. I know that our wonderful audio engineer, Chris, he had a big-time parlay to be able to win on that one. Chris, I feel you here. We always want to get our own to be able to get to the window here. But I mean, right now, you're seeing his player prop of over 5.5 rebounds at a plus 135. I think that Shai is going to be able to stuff the stat sheet, especially with a little bit less Tyrese Haliburton. I think that this could be a big-time Shai Gilgeous-Alexander game. Now, to go over 35 points, you're getting a plus 105. I just think that 35 is a relatively proper number. Now, getting a plus value does give you a little bit of value. I just wouldn't want to be taking that over. I would be looking a little bit more at someone like an Alex Caruso, Aaron Wiggins. I do think that those role players are going to have a relatively solid game. What else is relatively solid? Being able to break down golf with Wes Reynolds. He's also a man from the great state of Indiana, so we'll look at the finals with him as well on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's always great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. We've got Wes Reynolds aboard. He does incredible work here at the network, taking a look at all things golf. We've got the Travelers Championship that is going to be coming up. He's also a native of the great state of Indiana, and I know that he's got some thoughts on the NBA Finals game number 6. And Wes, it's always great to be able to get you aboard, my friend. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Greg.
It's great to be with you as well, Wes. And Wes, before we dive into the golf, we do have to address this because I know that you bleed Indiana Pacers yellow. I know that you have been just taking a look at this entire run for the postseason for them. For the Pacers, 6.5-point underdogs, total is hovering right around 222. What are you anticipating for game number 6, and what are you going to be looking to bet?
Yeah, maybe it's good for the Pacers. And I'm not going back because we only split meetings when I went back for games 3 and 4 last week, even though the Fever made it 2-1 with the win on Saturday. But nevertheless, yeah, look, I expect the Pacers to come out with some energy, at least in game number 6. And I think that that's going to show potentially in the first half, unquote, game time decision. I think he's going to give it a go. I think he's going to try. And you could tell at the end of the game or after the game when he had the post-game press conference, he's like, you know, I earned the right to be here. And then try to give it a go. And he's right, because he helped lead this team where they are. But, you know, was ineffective and you had to use him as a decoy offensively. And just the turnovers between he and Andrew Nembhard are what cost them the game, because even though it looked like one-way traffic for the Thunder in Oklahoma City in game 5 on Monday, the Pacers only had it to a 2-point deficit with about 8.5 minutes to go. And it looks like, okay, here we're going to go again. They're going to get outplayed and somehow win a game. But the turnovers from that, I believe, 7:49 mark to about the 5:05 mark, they had 5 turnovers, 3 from Nembhard, 2 from Haliburton. All of them led directly to Thunder points. So all of a sudden, a 5-point deficit becomes a 15-point deficit, and that's all she wrote. So I expect that the Pacers are going to come out with some energy. The home crowd can rally them at least for 24 minutes. So there are some 3.5s out there for the first half. You're right when you say it's 6.5 pretty much across the board for the game. I would look at playing first half here, because I don't want to say that the Thunder are going to let up, because I don't think that they are. But when you got that game seven in your back pocket, kind of the ace in the hole here, you know, maybe you tend to kind of relax at least just that little. The Pacers are the desperate team, so I like the Pacers in the first half getting 3.5. I don't know if they win the game, and I don't know if they hang for 48 minutes and the Thunder just show their class that they have all year in the fourth quarter, which could very well happen. But I think for that first 24 minutes, you're getting good energy out of the Pacers. And this has been a home-dominated series when it comes to leading in the first half. Thunder have led all three games in Oklahoma City at halftime. The Pacers led both of the games last week in the first half, and I think we make it a 6-for-6 in that regard.
Yep, I think that you really pointed out well with regards to that home court advantage and how meaningful it has been all throughout the postseason. And I think the big question that everyone has is Tyrese Haliburton, and I don't even know if Tyrese Haliburton knows what sort of level he's going to be at in terms of being 100% or not with regards to this game number six, but just what do you anticipate from him? Because I do think that that's such an X factor here, and if Tyrese Haliburton is far from 100%, which I'm sort of anticipating, who do you think might be able to step up?
Well, they have to use him, I think, maybe off the ball a little bit if he gives it a go, where he's not necessarily being the point guard. They're going to have Nembhard handle the ball. And then T.J. McConnell is probably going to have to give him more minutes, and that was probably a mistake in game number five. You know, when they take him out, the blow and the breather at the beginning of the fourth quarter, they probably should have put him in at the seven-minute mark, and they did not. So, you know, McConnell... Siakam is going to have to try to initiate some offense, maybe in a point forward role, a la Jalen Williams, what he's done for Oklahoma City, especially in game number four. And, you know, take a little bit of that ball handling burden off Tyrese. Get him in motion, get him off the ball, get him in some screen action, and see if you can make it go that way and get him some looks at the basket.
I think that that's very well said by you, and I'm in agreement with you, and I do think that Andrew Nembhard is going to have himself a big game number six myself, as this is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Wes Reynolds does such great work here at the network. He's joining me, and you do want to take a look at the future of wagering, fantasy, the thrill of calling your shot, xcutta.com. They've got you. That is the letter X-C-U-T-T-A, and it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it as combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting, and you get to choose how you want to bid on players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 teams and athletes to choose from in every major sport. You set the terms, build your auctions, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew. Get the hookup over at support@xcutta.com and mention VSIN, V-S-I-N, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, xcutta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Future wagering just got a serious upgrade, and we do get a serious upgrade with regards to being able to bet on the futures of golf with you, Wes. The Travelers is going to be going down, and shock, shock, surprise, surprise, Scottie Scheffler finds himself as a favorite in the tournament. Right now, you're getting him at +$3. Rory McIlroy, that clear number two. A lot of places right around about 12-1. How do you take a look at this tournament? Because, as we know, the Travelers is one of the bigger, shall we say, non-majors out there on the tour, and you've got Scottie Scheffler, the big bad wolf, and everyone else pretty long odds to be able to win this tournament.
Yeah, it is that signature event, the last quote-unquote signature event of the year. And then, of course, we have the Open Championship next month overseas. But, yeah, it's always weird because after a major, you know, how much do they have left, especially going through Oakmont at the U.S. Open. And it was a really tough setup, one of the toughest setups they've had in years that the USGA has put forward. When you only have one guy that gets under par for the tournament, he had to hit a 64-footer, that being J.J. Spahn, on the 18th hole just to finish at one under par. So, I'm foregoing the leaders, the top couple guys on the odds board. Now, that wasn't a good idea last year because Scottie Scheffler ended up beating one of my guys, Tom Kim, in the playoff. But I'm going to start with Colin Morikawa because I'm going to go with ball striking. And that's what I'm always going to lean on, is how a guy is hitting his irons. And he hit him better than anybody last week at the U.S. Open. Led the field on approach, led the field tee to green, led the field strokes gained ball striking, second greens in regulation. So why the hell did he finish T23? Well, because he lost 9 strokes with the putter, which was the worst putting performance of his career on the PGA Tour that has seen him win 2 major championships at a pretty young age. So I'm going to dismiss that, I think, as an outlier here, that he's going to putt better. He had gained strokes putting in 3 starts heading into that U.S. Open. So I'm willing to say that Morikawa does the same.
Yep, with Colin Morikawa, he's been able to be relatively consistent throughout his career as well. So I think that that's a relatively solid look by you. And obviously, when it comes to golf, it's always all about the outrights. But that said, I know that there's a few derivative players that you're playing and a few guys down the board that I know you took to be able to win this tournament as well. Take me through some of the other guys that were able to make your card for this week.
Yeah, and most of these guys, and you can get that at VSiN.com/picks, most of these guys I play in top 20 markets or perhaps even top 30 markets. Limited field, by the way, this week, 72 players. Keegan Bradley's 35-1, who actually won here 2 years ago at the Travelers and was runner-up here in 2019. He's based from the Northeast, from Vermont, actually, so he's from New England. You know, he might want to justify picking himself as a Ryder Cup participant. He is the Ryder Cup captain, by the way, for Team USA, but he's going to need to win. And this is a good spot where I think he could get it done. Keegan Bradley, 35-1, another guy in the mix for that Ryder Cup Team USA, Russell Henley, 40-1, top 10 at the US Open last week. Inside the top 10 now in 3 of his last 5 majors. He's been top 3 heading into the final round here at the Travelers 3 times on 7 appearances. And I think he's a much better player now, having won that big event at Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer, earlier this year. And then Cameron Young, 50-1, who finally, maybe he's finding something. T4 at the U.S. Open, inside the top 7, 3 of his last 5 events. Daniel Berger, 50-1. Who had good form here at the Travelers, but you got to go a long way back because he hadn't played here since 2019, but really good on these Pete Dye designs, was 3rd at the RBC Heritage at Harbortown, another Pete Dye design back in April. And then the long shot, Tom Hoagie, 125-1, who gained 4.5 strokes with his ball striking, despite the fact that he missed the cut on the number at the U.S. Open. Very good on shorter courses, and this is only a little over 6,800 yards, TPC River Highlands, just outside of Hartford, Connecticut. Short course that puts a premium on iron play. I think this is right in his wheelhouse.
I think that this is going to be an amazing tournament. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler is the man to beat. He is the short shot there, but I do think that you, Wes, did a great job being able to decipher some guys that might be able to provide some value this week, and you always provide value when you join the show, Wes. Always do appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Greg, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Always love to be able to have Wes aboard. Certainly a big night for him on Thursday with the Indiana Pacers going in and playing game number 6 at home. And additionally, we've got ourselves a big slate of baseball. How about having 16 games on a Thursday where typically it's a travel day? How about if we take a look at some of these double dips that we're going to get next on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Wes Reynolds in the previous segment. He does such an incredible job taking a look at the great game of baseball, or I should say the great game of golf. Additionally, we talked about the NBA Finals with him. I've got baseball in mind because we've got ourselves a lot that is going to be going down on this Thursday. 16 games in total. Typically, with a getaway day, with a travel day, you don't have as much as we've got, but we've got a ton, and we have to dive in on some of these double dips because some of these are murky, and I will say, before we go any further with regards to these double headers, with regards to these games in which we had some washouts and we had some, shall we say, rain delays, like I'm looking at you, the Reds versus Twins, who called the game after 6 innings right around about midnight Eastern time. Want to be checking lineups? Want to be making sure that you don't have some sort of a pitching scratch or, especially in the case of these doubleheaders, a switcheroony? Because sometimes a guy that you expect to go in game number 1 actually goes in game number 2. Like, I remember there was once a guy that had, like, a tummy bug. He was supposed to go in game number one, and then they started him, like, 4 hours later. So, you never know what you're going to be getting there. But I do feel like we know that in the Tigers versus Pittsburgh Pirates double dip, we're going to get some good pitching. Now, we've got one game involving Paul Skeens, one game involving Tarik Skubal. What would be amazing, and I know that Scott Seidenberg mentioned this on VSiN Prime Time, is if we actually did get the matchup that we would all love in Tarik Skubal versus Paul Skeens, you would have to think that that total would be like six, especially out there in Detroit. Like, that would be theater, and I don't know if I'd be able to take a six over if we actually did get that. Unfortunately, it does not look like we're going to be getting that. Now, if you're looking at the late game between Paul Skeens and the Detroit Tigers, it's TBD. You're expected to get Kodir Montero going for the Detroit Tigers, and the reason why they haven't listed anyone for him, they've used an opener for Montero quite a bit throughout the season. So that's a big reason why this is a little bit TBD, but a lot of books that are posting this are posting the Pirates at a minus 140 and a total of seven. Even though Paul Skeens has been as amazing as he has been, I actually will be looking at the Tigers on plus money merely because while Paul Skeens is great, everyone else around him has been not so great. You got a bottom three team in terms of runs per game, and I mean, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the bottom of the lineup has just been miserable thus far this season. Like, you just go down the cavalcade of guys. They're hitting a 225 or lower. Even Brian Reynolds, who he's one of three guys on this roster. And keep in mind, it is June 18th. We are past the halfway marker of June with north of four home runs thus far this season. So, yeah, that's not necessarily what you want to see there, but I mean, you just go down the list. Alexander Canario, Tommy Pham, Reynolds, who I mentioned before, Henry Davis, Jared Trollo, all these guys hitting a 222 or lower. All these guys not providing too much pop. I mean, heck, even O'Neill Cruz, who's been able to give you the power for this team, 13 home runs, he's hitting a 223. So not a lot of guys moving the line. To the credit of the Pittsburgh Pirates, bullpen has been quite a bit better. You've got David Benner. He has been not pooping the Benner as much. He's been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, so that's been a little bit better for this team. Dennis Santana has been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. Caleb Ferguson, these guys are coming along for the ride, but for the Detroit Tigers, you've got a team in the American League that has been number one in terms of bullpen ERA in the American League since the All-Star break of the 2024 campaign. You've got Tarik Skubal, who's going to be going in game one, so you have to think that the bullpen is not going to be overly taxed here, and that means that you're going to be able to mix and match however you want with a guy in Brian Herter, who he might be the opener in this game. You can utilize him for multiple innings very easily. I know that Will Vest has been dealing with a little bit of an injury, but you've got Tommy Canley, who's able to hold it down, Chase Lee, so many guys that are giving you a sub-3 ERA that have all been able to excel, and they can go for one inning, multiple innings. A lot of these guys have that versatility as well, so that gives you a nice leg up there, and then you've got a lot of home run power with the team as well. Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, they're on there as well. What you've been able to get on the front of even someone like a guy that's able to move the line at Javi Baez. He's up to 9 home runs thus far this season as well. So these guys have been able to do a rock solid job. Well, slip in the mind of Kerry Carpenter, by the way. But for these three guys, in terms of Carpenter, Torkelson, and Riley Green, all 13-plus home runs this season. And a Tigers team that last year they were able to make the playoffs built on pitching, now top 8 team with regards to runs per game. So an interesting scenario here. I did somebody told a little bit north of a 7. I do think that Montero is going to give up a few runs to the Pirates, but I do think that for the Tigers, they get into that bullpen. I do like them here on the money line, especially getting that plus money, and I'm going to be looking at the over. We'll dive into the second game in a second, but first things first, we need a boost, and Edge Boost, they provide that. It's the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that all gambling transactions are approved 100% of the time. You're able to earn cashback rewards as you utilize Edge Boost. No usage fees, no minimums. Sign up today over at edgeboost.bet with the promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. That allows you to deposit $25 and get that first deposit match dollar for dollar. That's over at edgeboost.bet, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now let's take a look at Skubal versus Andrew Heaney. This is going to be an incredible game, and right now for the Detroit Tigers, you're finding them as darn near a minus $3 favorite. You're going to be getting them right in the neighborhood of minus $3. I'm seeing a size of minus 320 out there. Total on this game is 7, shaded down to the under. And right now with that run line, this opened up at a minus 130. This has gone up to a minus 140. I was willing to go up to a minus 135 personally, and I do feel like this is starting to dry up just a little bit because, man, you were seeing this one, this open up on the board for the game that actually got washed out on Wednesday. You were able to get some relatively okay value there, but I mean, now that this is slipping up and this is going up to a minus 140, I do think that it's getting a little bit too rich for my blood. I would rather take a look at the under here if you're looking to back Drake Skubal and company. I would need a big plus number, by the way, to even dare take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. And right now, we're starting to get that right around about a plus 280 or so, which that makes things very intriguing. If we could get to like plus 290, plus $3, I might be willing to take a stab on Andrew Heaney. Like, Derek Skubal's been amazing. 11 plus strikeouts per every walk that he allows. He has been posting up a sub-2 fielding independent. He doesn't give up home runs. He does a really good job of inducing soft contact. Like, he has been incredible. But even for a guy as incredible as Derek Skubal, if you get a relatively good performance on the flip side from Andrew Heaney, he's been down with his strikeout numbers, but he's been able to do a better job of limiting the hard contact, giving up closer to 1.2, 1.3 home runs per nine innings. For his career, it's been more around about 1.5 home runs per nine innings. That does lend just a scotch bit of value. And with these doubleheaders, sometimes you get these, as I like to call them, funky bunch lineups. Sometimes you don't necessarily get the guy that you're expecting in game number one. And you do have to think that the Tigers try to give Tarik Skubal every chance to be able to win this game, help out that Cy Young candidacy. But that's always a little bit of a question mark as well. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, just think that starting to get to a point where I might be willing to take this. If I could get a plus 285 or higher, I would be willing to take a shot there. Because like I said, I was willing to go up to a minus 135 on the Tigers run line, and we've gone past this number, and I do think that this is going to be a low-scoring game. I said my total below 7. I am in on the under, and right now, if we could just, again, keep inching up, might be able to take a shot on the Pittsburgh Pirates there. And how about if we do take a shot on this game, as we've had the Baltimore Orioles, in my opinion, be overvalued all season long, and they again are overvalued. This is 9-15, 9-16 on the card. It's the Tampa Bay Rays playing us to the Orioles with old Charlie Morton on the bump for the Orioles, and Drew Rasmussen goes for the Rays. The Hot Shell Rays are anywhere between minus 141 to minus 157 favorites, right around about plus 128 to plus 138. That number on Baltimore with a total of 8.5. You have to wonder what the mindset is going to be here of Baltimore, by the way. They were up 8-0 in the game on Wednesday, and then they made like your buddy at the bar. Not only did they not close, but they forgot just where they were in general. Like, my goodness, they gave up 12 straight runs to end that game, and it's much of why I talk about on the show bullpen pitching. Like, you've got a big giant bullpen mismatch right now in this game for the Tampa Bay Rays, number one in terms of bullpen ERA out there in the American League. They've been supplying a bullpen ERA right around 3. They needed to get all but 4 outs from their bullpen in the game on Wednesday, and they were able to do so. They didn't have to use up all of their trustworthy guys like Eric Orze. You've got a guy like a Pete Fairbanks. They're going to be good to go in this game. And then for the Baltimore Orioles, there's just not a lot of trustworthiness outside of, I would say, Keegan Aiken has been a relatively good long guy. Obviously, Felix Bautista as a closer, but you need to have a lead going into the ninth inning to be able to get to Felix Bautista. They had to use up quite a few bullpen pieces as well. Trevor Rogers went 2 1/3 inning, so you do have a pair of teams that are going to be a little bit taxed in terms of bullpen. Big reason why I like the over. And on top of that, Charlie Morton still rocking a 6 ERA, still giving up north of 4.5 walks per 9 innings, still giving up north of 1.5 home runs per 9 innings, while Drew Rasmussen, he's not getting a lot of swings and misses, only about 7 to 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but has been rock solid in terms of being able to keep the ball in the yard. He doesn't give up a lot of walks, so he does a good job of being able to keep things out in front of him, and I do think that with the Tampa Bay Rays, he got some relatively solid value here with them. I was willing to lay the money line. I was willing to go up to a minus 168, and I do like this total over with two very spent bullpens. And to wrap up the show next, we've got a great day of sports on Thursday. We'll get you guys some NBA Finals picks, and we'll get you guys some picks on this Baseball Thursday here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It's the final segment of the night right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, well, you're going to get a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay, 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern is where the fun all starts with VSiN by the books. We've got Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross doing an absolutely tremendous job all day long and all year long as they do a tremendous job breaking down so much. And guess who's going to be the first guest on that show? This guy right here. You're going to get me nice and early about 30 minutes into that show. So I'll be breaking down some baseball. Anything that I don't break down here, I'll be breaking down with them. And anything that I don't break down with them, the VSiN Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson. That is posted up every single day. I break down every single game every single day. Had to cut it a little bit close in terms of getting here because there were a few rainouts and we had a few additions to be able to make to be able to get you guys those picks. But we did so, and that gets posted up midnight Pacific, 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern every single day. So for anything that ever does not get caught on this show whenever I am hosting, we've got you guys all covered there. But we've also got to get you guys covered with the NBA Finals. I will certainly be breaking down the MLB card here in a few minutes, but we have ourselves a massive game number 6 that we need to break down. Pacers, Thunder. Thunder currently 6.5-point road favorites. Total on this game is 222. Again, I just have to fade what we're going to be able to get out of Tyrese Halliburton moving forward. His over-under in terms of his player prop is 13.5 with regards to points. Just have to go under. Like, what are we going to be able to get out of him is a massive question mark. Did not look good a few nights ago, and certainly it helps that you get a little bit of a extra one-day rest in between these NBA Finals games, unlike what you get in a lot of other series, but I just don't know what that recovery is going to be. It's a lower body injury that I think is going to be hampering him quite a bit. So I do look at this scenario here, and I just can't look anywhere other than the under. Like, is there a possibility that he's at 100% and he's able to look like Superman? Sure, there is. I think that the possibility of him being much less than 100% is far greater than that. So certainly a spot where I'm going to be looking at the under on his prop. Now, I take a look at just in general with regards to this game, and it's going to be one that I live bet because I've just noticed this with Indiana Pacers games all postseason long. Just betting the team that was down going into the fourth quarter has proved to be very, very fruitful for you, and I do think that we could once again get some in-game betting value as well because, again, we don't know if Tyrese Halliburton is going to be 100%. And if Tyrese Halliburton isn't 100%, which I fully anticipate that he's not going to be 100%, who is going to be stepping up for them? What is going to be the dynamic of this game? Are the Pacers going to be looking to slow down? Are they going to be going a little bit more guard heavy? That is CBD, but what I did like from the OKC Thunder in game number 5, they got back to their roots. They put Isaiah Hartenstein back in the starting lineup. I thought that that was absolutely massive. And right now you're seeing his player prop for his rebounds at a 6.5. I'm going to be willing to take a shot to the over. Recognize that he only played 21 minutes in game number 5. I expect him to have a little bit more of a, shall we say, a presence in this game. I think that he's going to be seeing a few more minutes. And because Halliburton is banged up, I do think that there's going to be more of an allocation of resources to being able to bottle up things down low, not let guys like Miles Turner and company be able to bust out. So that is going to be one that I'm taking a look at as well. And then if I'm looking at it over, Andrew Nembhard, we're seeing his player prop at 11.5 in terms of points. He's going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit more with Tyrese Halliburton dealing with the injury. And I think that he's going to be able to bust out and he's going to be able to have a relatively solid game. Recognize that during the regular season, wasn't necessarily shooting at the world's greatest from three-point range, and it's been a little bit more Aaron Nesmith, who's really been that sharpshooter from three-point range, but I certainly do think that he's going to be able to be a little bit more of a facilitator. I think that he's going to have a bigger, shall we say, role with this offense, and with having that bigger role, I think that he's going to need to step up, drive it to the hole a little bit more. So I do like his player prop over in terms of Andrew Nembhard. That's what we're all taking a look at with regards to the finals game. Now we need to get you guys some baseball picks, as we've got 16 games in total, and all of our best bets here at VSiN, they are brought to you by GBank. GBank is introducing the $500 trifecta. That's where GBank, VSiN, and First Bet are all coming together. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at FirstBet to trigger this $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. FirstBet will be giving you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN subscription all the way through October 31st. That's a $200 value, and that is the $500 trifecta from GBank, FirstBank, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. How about if we dive in on what we've got in terms of a massive card in baseball? Maybe I'm a schmuck for this, but we've got the Colorado Rockies who have now won four straight road games. I just can't buy into them being able to make it number five. Trevor Williams is a pitcher for the Washington Nationals that is due him for a lot of positivity. Has a 5.71 ERA. Fielding opponent, though, is a sub-385. He's been keeping the ball in the yard, giving up about a home run per nine innings, less than 2.5 walks per nine. And I will say, on the flip side, with the Colorado Rockies, well, Chase Dellinger, 2.3 home runs allowed per nine innings, 4.4 walks per nine as well. He has been much better on the road this year. Sub-450 ERA on the road. At home, he's giving up north of 3 home runs per nine innings. Road, less than 1.5 home runs per nine innings. So I see this total of 9.5, especially with the Colorado Rockies, despite their recent outburst, being dead last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game away from home, averaging in that neighborhood about 2.7 runs per game, lowest on base percentage away from home. That total is just too high, especially with this being an early day game and a getaway day as well. I do think that you get a little bit of a lower scoring game. A few guys are probably going to get the day off. We did see Hunter Goodman get the day off for Colorado on Wednesday. Should be back in the lineup on Thursday, but even with that, I do like the under, and with Washington Nationals, nice plus number here on the run line, about plus 125, plus 130. I'm going to be willing to dive in there. This is just a low total that I need to take a look at the over on. You've got the Philadelphia Phillies on the road against the Miami Marlins. One, Edward Cabrera's on the bump for the Fish, and you've got Christopher Sanchez going for the Phillies. This total is 7.5, and Sanchez has been good. Like, he's been able to give you a sub-325 ERA, fielding independent, right on par with that. He is getting 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, but for Edward Cabrera, I don't know if Edward Cabrera knows where the ball is going to be going, as he gives up quite a few walks, just under 4 walks per 9 innings, which is actually good for his standards, by the way, which that shows you just how out of control his style is. But again, comes back to one of my big themes, bullpen pitching. The bullpen pitching for both of these teams has been not good, to say the least. Entering in the day on Wednesday, Miami Marlins 23rd in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Philadelphia Phillies number 24 in the big leagues in bullpen ERA. Other than Orion Kirkering for the Philadelphia Phillies, really nobody stepping up in this bullpen, especially after Jose Alvarado. He got popped for 80 games for taking weight loss supplements. Well, his wallet is going to be much, much lighter after that. And for the Miami Marlins, just, you've had Ronnie Enriquez be relatively solid. He's been able to give you sub-3 ERA. Anthony Bender has been okay as well, but these long relievers just have not been able to cut it for the team. They've had a lot of injuries throughout the season with that bullpen as well. And for the Miami Marlins, even though they don't necessarily have a lot of power, you do have guys that are able to play good station-to-station baseball. Xavier Edwards has been able to step up for them. He's been giving you north of a 360 on base. Even someone like an Eric Waugeman, when he's been out there, he's been able to find a way to move the line. Kyle Stowers, main guy in terms of your power with 10 home runs. He's been stuck on 10 home runs for quite a while, but that said, I do think that this Miami Marlins team generates a few runs on the Philadelphia Phillies, and certainly with the Phillies, you got a guy by the name of Kyle Schwarber doing some amazing things, giving you north of 20 home runs. Again, you don't necessarily have a ton of power outside of Schwarber. Nobody else is giving you a double-figure amount of bombs, but lots of guys, they're able to find a way to be able to move the line and get on base, so do like the over in this spot. And with the Philadelphia Phillies, you're finding that even money run line out there. I was willing to go up to about a minus 110, so I do like that run line as well. And then we're going to give you guys a plus money pick, and we're going to stay out there in the NL East. It's the Mets and the Braves. Spencer Strider is on the bump for the Braves. Clay Holmes goes for the Mets. Mets in that neighborhood about plus 110, plus 115 total on this game. You're going to be getting it at an 8.5, and I actually do like the over. Spencer Strider looked amazing in his last start against the Colorado Rockies. Completely mowed them down for 13 strikeouts, kept it scoreless. Team is 1-5 in his starts this far this season. Other than that one start against the Colorado Rockies at home, they just have not looked like him. He just has not looked like himself. And Clay Holmes doing a good job inducing soft contact. Might see a little bit of regression here. And for the Atlanta Braves, Ronald Acuña Jr. really stepping up for this team. I believe he's up to 9 home runs already in his small sample size. He has been incredible, this Braves team. If you look at the season-long numbers, they're a very league-average offense, but they have been upgraded with Acuña. But the New York Mets, top 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA. I've got faith that the Mets bullpen going to be able to lock it down and get the job done. I do like the Mets on the money line. I like that 8.5 over. What else I love? What we've all got coming up here on VSiN for this wonderful Thursday. Starts off with VSiN by the books, 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern. And I'll be joining them in about 30 minutes in that one as well. And then a numbers game with Gil Alexander, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. And then Money Moves, another show that I'll be on. That's going to be coming up at noon Eastern time. So we're in for a great day here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.